This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
Welcome to Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. We are live at the Beacon Building, 814 Elm Street, right in downtown Manchester. And you can come and have some lunch over at Midtown Cafe. And you know what they have, what they're serving upstairs today is a barbecue lamb wrap with feta cheese.
I didn't notice that.
Syrian roll. Oh. And Syrian bread.
Is that one of Dad's specials?
Yes.
Oh.
Dad cooked up the barbecue lamb, and they are serving it like crazy upstairs.
Ooh.
So, if anybody's hungry.
Gotta go.
Mike's out here.
Yeah.
So if anybody's hungry, want some barbecue lamb, I suggest you get here shortly because they always run out. And
tomato basil soup, I thought
tomato
I saw too.
That's
all I saw. I always just check the soup thing first.
It's the first thing I look at, you know, if I'm wearing my glasses, and of course I can see far. But when I turn the corner to come, towards the office, that's the first thing I zone in on is what is the soup?
Yes.
I'm always squinting to see what
Speaking
soup
of glasses,
is.
Are those new?
No.
Oh, I don't think I've seen you wear this particular pair before. Very cool.
These are usually the pair I wear.
No, I've never seen the side frames that have the red and white polka dot, or the red polka dots, if that's what it is. I've never seen those before. Am I that unobservant?
Apparently so.
Apparently I am, huh? Wow.
I mean, I do have many eyeglasses.
Yes.
Probably,
and they're all prescriptions?
15 to 20. And yes, they are all prescriptions.
Good Lord, woman.
But this one is my latest script.
Okay.
So these are the ones I've been wearing lately because I need to wear them all the time.
Right.
I can't see.
But they're stylish. I mean, glasses.
I hate wearing
well, you know what?
My glasses.
Glasses have made a huge comeback. People are wearing glasses that don't even have prescription glass in them because they want to be cool.
I think they look cool.
I
hate them.
Do
hate them, hate them, hate them.
You just hate the idea of glasses?
Yeah, I just...
Is it a vanity thing?
I don't know. I just don't like wearing them. I hate them. Mm-hmm. But I have to because I can't see.
Yeah, now you don't want to do anything like, eye...
I am going to try contact lenses again. No, mm-hmm. I'd be too afraid.
Really?
Yeah. Plus, I need both vision, mainly for far, but now, because I'm getting older, I can't see close
okay,
either.
Okay, right.
And I think they say that doesn't help that or something.
Yeah, I don't believe LASIK does, but there's another one that name sort of sounds like that can help, I believe. Now, I'm not an optometrist or ophthalmologist, but I think there is something that could fix the nearsightedness or the inability to read up close.
Okay, well, I just don't like wearing them, but I'm going to try some contact lenses again. I used to be allergic to them.
Seriously?
I tried all different kinds
allergic?
Of contact. Yeah, yeah. So I haven't worn them for years, but maybe technology's different now. I don't know.
Give it another shot.
I think I'm going to give it another shot and try some contact lenses. Yeah. Mm. So
might revisit the having them saw into your eye a little bit.
No. You know what? I just couldn't do that.
No.
I don't think I could.
It takes only a few seconds. You don't feel a thing.
Yeah, that's okay. I'll
pass. And millions have done it and love it.
Yeah.
Not that I'm here to sell it, but...
Yeah. My sister-in-law did it, Lori,
mm-hmm.
and loves it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but no, not for me.
Maybe we need to get you drunk and then say, okay, sit down. Open your eyes. It'll only not won't hurt at all.
Having something like coming at you like mm-hmm. that with you being awake and, I could get sick right now.
So the fear of that exceeds your dislike of glasses.
It does.
Okay.
It does. I'm going to try the
Contact lenses. Cool.
Yes, I'm going to try that. So anyway, so this weekend, what'd you do for the weekend? Anything?
Well, let me tell you
something.
You've
been busy, I think.
Yeah,
all weekend.
Extremely, extremely busy. But you do, I do. We go to a lot of food events, tastings. A lot of them are fundraisers, and typically when you go, there's 30 or 40 vendors or whatever it is, and you just basically get one or two bites. Per business, right? Just one little bit on your plate. Well, I have found a food event that is the best for your money I've ever attended.
Wow.
Now, it was at a church, so it wasn't like a big deal, you know, sponsored by some big group you've never heard of. This was actually at a church, and I would recommend any church that wants to make some serious money try this. It was the International Food Festival at Triumphant Cross Lutheran Church in Salem. It was on Saturday for 3 hours in the afternoon. They just opened up like the church hall, and basically they had probably a dozen different cultures or nationalities represented. You know, there was Greece, there was Sweden, there was England, there was India, Indonesia, Mexican, the whole list went on. And when you paid $15, okay, first of all, that's 10 to 15 bucks cheaper than any food event I ever go to.
Sure.
Now, there was no liquor served. All right, it's at a church. So you get a plate, and each one of the places you go to will give you a full plate if you want.
Wow.
So it was like, after about six, I said, well, I think I'm all set. Now, there's a couple I didn't try. They had an American booth, hot dogs and apple pie. I'm all set.
I'll get it. Who wants that?
And I didn't do the Mexican because I'm a real Mexican food snob. And it didn't, I just said, I'm going to move on. I'm going to try some stuff I never tried before.
There
so
you go.
Went to the Indonesian table, and they had some kind of a pork, chicken and rice. You know, I don't know what it was called. That was okay. Yeah, the pork was a little bit dry and not real good. The Indian cuisine was fantastic. There was a chicken dish, and then there was some kind of a cashew dish, which was really, really good. And again, with rice, you could have as much as you want.
Wow.
I went to the Greek one. I said, well, if I'm not going to Glendy this weekend with zillions of people, I'll try this. And so I got some kind of a meat and pastry dish, and then some baklava. It was really good. At the French table, they had coq au vin.
Oh
yeah, right. Okay.
Was it pretty good?
It was, yeah. And I don't even know if I've ever had it before, so I didn't have anything to compare it to. The taste of wine was pretty pronounced, as I'm guessing it probably is supposed to be.
It is.
So from that point of view, I said it tastes pretty authentic to me. I went over to the Irish table, and they were serving something that appeared to be shepherd's pie, or at least akin to that, with corn and mashed potatoes and beef. And they also had something called potato candy. And they look like little tiny potatoes, but they weren't. They were dusted on the outside with sugar and cinnamon. On the inside, it was some kind of a chewy mix of coconut and some other stuff. So I know coconut is not on your list, but it was good. It was different. I expected it to be a potato with all that sweet stuff on the outside. So for me, it was a nice surprise. And I tried the Slovakian table because I love Eastern European cuisine, and had stuffed cabbage with them. So, and then I got to find out, I got like 30 raffle tickets. I got to find out if I won anything. Okay, it was a church thing, you know. So you got all the bags and you put the tickets in a bag, the stuff you hope to win. So, I'm telling you, when it comes next year, if you live in the Salem area, it is the best buy for your money to take the family, $15 a hit. And essentially eat, it's 3 hours, it's all communal dining, sit down at a table with people you don't know and talk to them.
Yeah.
And you don't just get one little thing with a toothpick in it. You get the whole dish if you want. They'll give you all the tables give you as much as you want.
That's cool.
So it was a great event. Yeah. Again, at the International Food Festival, Triumphant Cross Lutheran Church on Zion Hill Road in Salem. Thanks to Nalima, our friend Nalima, who owns Creative Chef Kitchens, invited me to come. And I said, yeah, this sounds like fun.
Very nice.
Just something completely different.
Cool.
So that's what I did.
Very cool. Well, we had Saturday was Dad's surprise birthday party.
I wanted to ask you about that.
And it was awesome. There was like 20, Daryl counted 26 people in our backyard.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a great time. Very, very fun. Dad was surprised. He had no idea. And most everybody was there before he got there, which was really cool.
Excellent.
And
I saw Brian on the grill.
Yes, Brian and Daryl were on the grill, and we had barbecue lamb, actually. We had barbecue lamb and Kobe burgers, which were delicious.
So talk to me about the Kobe burgers.
Mm-hmm.
And just regular rolls, or did you have an upgraded roll? Or
I did get some. I went to Market Basket. Mm-hmm. I went into the bakery, and I actually got these. They were smaller rolls. They were like for dinner rolls, really.
Yeah.
A little bit bigger dinner roll with like a crust on the top, crusty.
May have been brioche or possibly a potato.
It wasn't brioche. They were called something different. Like I had never really heard of it, but we got those and we cut cut them in half and it was really good.
Excellent.
Very good. So I made the we made the patties a little bit smaller.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, because it was a variety of stuff. People brought things. And so
you got a big yard. At least that's what it looks like to me.
Oh, yeah. I have 2 acres
of 2 acres. Wow.
Of grass. Flat.
Yeah. Who's grass. In charge of cutting that? Is that your son?
No, yeah. I have a guy.
Somebody come and do it.
Yeah.
Well, it looked really nice. You'd never guess that you were just, you know, in the city, kind of.
You know, when you come up Wardley Road, it's like you're in another world.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yet I'm only like, you know, 2 minutes away from downtown. So it's nice.
So are you on this? Is that the same road as Clark's Farm? Are you close to that? Or
I live right next door.
Okay.
Yep. Right next door.
I don't think I've ever been on that road before.
You never been to Clark's Farm?
No. And I know Rich. I know Rich Clark pretty well, but I've just never been out
there. Yeah. Yeah.
Fun. So. Well, happy birthday, George.
Yes, 75. And yeah, it was fun. Very good.
Excellent.
And that's about it. We didn't really do a whole lot this weekend.
Yeah, I went to a 50th birthday party yesterday. And so Barbie and I made chili. We took a Paula Deen recipe, which has a little bit of cinnamon in it. So it gives it just a little sweetness to the heat, which was good. And I love making corn muffins, but I quite honestly, I've never been completely satisfied with them till this weekend when I said, screw it, I'm going to just totally play with the recipe. So I did. I made a mini corn muffin so I wouldn't have to cook as long to get as dry. And I used fresh corn instead of, they usually say, you know, use frozen corn niblets. Well, I just boiled a corn cob and scraped off the corn. And what a difference that made. The corn actually made a little pop or a crunch when you ate it as opposed to just being there. Taking up space.
Cool.
And instead of vegetable oil, I used bacon oil for part of the recipe. So that gave it a completely different flavor. And I also made...
Did you say bacon oil?
Yeah, bacon grease. I save the drippings just for stuff like that. Always good to have bacon drippings in the fridge just to flavor things up. And so I also took a red pepper, put it on the the burners, and roasted it up and cut up little strips and put it on top. And it was the best ones I've made. So
cool.
Took me a long enough time to figure out that I really should change it up and make it better.
Cool.
So that was it.
Good. Yeah. Let me see. Today's food holiday. Nothing great. National Pecan Cookie Day.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Nothing.
No.
Nothing.
Not a big pecan guy.
I'm not either.
Although I do like candied pecans, or I like to use them in my salad.
Really?
We like to make a big tray of candied pecans, just put them in a jar and have a couple of them on there with maybe some blue cheese and maybe some blueberries and a real nice vinaigrette on a bed of field greens.
I'm not one for nuts in my salad.
No.
I'm just not, but lots of people do like that.
Yeah.
So, it's also St. Matthew the Apostle, patron of accountants and tax collectors.
Really?
Which reminds me, wait until you see this. I got this email. Actually, my account controller, Lee, called me this morning. She says, Carol, did you send me an email this morning? I go, no. I go, why? She goes, Carol, this is really weird. And she forwarded it to me, and of course I printed it off. Urgent reply to Lee from my email address, carol@redarrowdiner.com. Uh-huh. I mean, exactly. It says, sent from my iPhone at the bottom. Hi, Lee. I would like you to take care of a financial obligation for me. Please let me know if you can process a wire transfer to get back to me as soon as possible.
That one came from Nigeria.
Isn't that terrible?
Yeah, you get those from time. That's not the first time you've gotten
not
a request.
That.
You know, wire some money you can have. There's $4 million sitting in my bank account, but you need to send me $3,000 to process
They're
it.
Acting like they're me.
Well, sure. Yeah, your account has been hijacked. That's what that is. Yeah, that's
well,
what that is.
I had
is.
Dave from Grohl and Go over. He checked it all out. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, he said it was probably targeting me.
Yep. But usually those things are written so poorly that you just know that it's just some idiot, you know, sitting in some little place in wherever, some other country, just pounding those out, hoping to get one out of 1,000 to respond.
Yeah, jeepers. Scary. You never know. All right. Well, I think we're going to break.
Yeah.
Rocco is in the house. It's
All
Healthy
right.
Monday. I can't wait to hear what he has in store for us today. I did read the Integrity Health newsletter this morning, and there was a great article in there from Steve Gamlin.
Oh,
it was
excellent.
Wonderful. So, and it gave me some inspiration. that hopefully is going to rub off on me.
We love Steve. Steve is
Steve's awesome.
Very inspiring guy. So he's got a company called Inspired by Steve.
Yeah, it's cool. So, so you're listening to Food for Thought. We are going to go on a short break. We'll be back with Rocco Boulay, Integrity Health Coaching Solutions. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back. Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. It is Healthy Monday. It is Healthy Monday. And Rocco is in the house.
I'm in the house.
I cut him off for just a second there. But Rocco Boulay, Integrity Health Coaching Solutions. You can check him out on the web at integrityfit.com. And welcome, Rocco.
Thank you, Carol. Mike.
Good to see you, Rocco.
How was your weekend?
Much too busy, thank you.
Yeah, well,
too
good.
Much bad eating. Well, I'll be the first to admit it. So,
all
back
right.
on
Somebody
the wagon on Monday.
Okay, we don't need him anymore.
Oh, God. So how are things in North Conway?
Oh, yeah,
we're getting
going?
There. We're getting there. We got the store open last week, and it's looking pretty good. Looking pretty good. We have our grand opening next Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, October 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. So, yeah, I was speaking to the local radio station this morning to probably have like a remote broadcast from there for probably 4 hours or so, and got to run some ads and let the people in the valley know, you know, about our services and what we have to offer, you know, not just fitness, but, you know, health coaching and programming, a nutrition store where you can find all sorts of healthy supplements and snacks to augment your healthy lifestyle. So I'm excited about it, and it's everything's looking great.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm.
Putting a lot of miles on your car?
Lots of miles on the car.
Do you take the Kank when you go over, or do you go up like 16 past Mount Shakora?
I do both ways.
Yeah.
And either way, you always get in front of something, behind something,
right.
who's driving 35 miles an hour.
There is no really great way to get to North Conway.
And even when I do find that passing lane where I can get around them, uh-huh. of course, I hit the gas and I fly by them. They always tell me I'm number one out the mirror. I can see them. You know. Like, well, you know, what do you want me to do? I mean, you're driving 30 and it's mm-hmm. a 55
yeah, exactly.
mile an hour lane, and they're still mad at me. So I think that in those little towns like Moultonboro and Wolfboro, I think they believe that, you know, the speed limit should be what they're going.
Yeah.
No offense, guys up there, but nah, that's my opinion. So move over.
Good traffic talk here on The Pulse today.
So, yeah, so everything is good.
Good.
How about you, Carol? How's your journey going?
My journey's going okay.
Okay is not great, is it?
It isn't.
No.
It isn't.
Well, again, you know, it's all about choices, you know, between your thoughts and your actions. I end the show with that every week. I can't change that. Only you can. But anyways, the topic today I want to talk about is yo-yo dieting.
Ooh, that's a good one.
It is a good one. Have you gone on a diet before and lost weight and then all of a sudden sprung back up again? Has that ever happened to you?
That is so funny.
It's an epidemic, really.
It's a total epidemic. Mm-hmm. Do you know how many times I've joined Weight Watchers? I'm probably, like, rejoined that 50,000 times. Are you kidding me?
Well, there's a reason for it. And, you know, lots of clients that I work with, I always tell them that you have to feed your body healthy. You know, people think it's through restriction, and it's just not. You know, people think, and I see it happen all the time, well, if I skip this meal today or if I don't eat that, then I'm going to get there that much quicker. That is the mentality, and you probably have had that once upon a time, and if not still. And it's just not true. And you could speak with, you know, a million other people besides you that have gone on, you know, restricted calorie diets, and they may have lost weight in the beginning. And lo and behold, this, you know, usually when they stop doing it, they spring back. And you know, the funny thing is, they usually gain more weight back. Hence my story about Charlie, my cat. Did I ever tell you about Charlie, my cat?
No.
So Charlie was a cat that, you know, he recently passed, and probably a couple of years ago. But he lived about 17 years old, so he had a good full life. But about, I would say the year, I think it was about 2002, all of my cats were indoors, and they were all declawed in front claws, and he had escaped somehow. got outside. And it was December, so it was...
Oh, not good. No claws and cold weather.
Yes. For about 26 days, he was gone.
Oh, no way.
Oh, yeah.
So you just thought he was gone.
I went out and looked for him. I never gave up on him. And I go out in the woods behind my house, and I would call him. Probably the neighbors thought I was a nut. But I just wasn't giving up on him. And then one day I got home from work, and I looked out on the back slider, and there was Charlie just sitting there. And the only thing that I can think of is during that time in our neighborhood, they were building homes. And I think he must have got locked in one of the homes that was under construction. And then finally one day somebody opened up the door and he scooted out. But it was about 26 days later. And he was really pretty much anorexic. He was just
emaciated,
all bones.
Yeah. Right.
And he was never really that big of a cat. I mean, he was, a good-sized cat, maybe 14 pounds. But as, we had, four other cats at the time, and so we would always keep the food out for them to eat. Well, Charlie went back to eating again, and his body compensated to become even bigger than it was before. See, just like anything else, like if you work, say, for example, your biceps, right, and you attack your biceps, your body responds by making them bigger than they were before because you're putting an outside force on it. So that's a survival mechanism built into your body to say, okay, we're going to make the biceps stronger. Same with every other muscle in your body. But with restriction in calories, what happened with Charlie is that the body knew it was starving. So what it does is it compensates to make it resilient to that ever happening. And so if he ever got out again for another 26 days, he'd have the additional weight necessary to survive that stint of not having any food. Does this make sense?
Yeah, it does.
And this is exactly what happens when people go on these calorie restrictions. I've seen people doing this 500 calorie a day HCG diets. Absolutely crazy. Wouldn't recommend it in a million years.
What does that stand for, HCG?
It stands for human chorionic gonadotropin. Basically, okay.
Now I see why you give it letters.
basically, what it is a substance that's excreted from pregnant women, but they use it. The ones that they make on the market are actually come from the urine of horses.
Okay.
And what it does is it allows the body to make hormones artificially to keep the body's metabolism a little bit higher. But once you stop, you're still faced with the same situation. Your body's been basically attacked by external things that happen. The body compensates, or actually super compensates to a degree. You can go on. I would tell you, if you restrict your carbohydrates and do no carbohydrates for, say, 14 days, and then you eat carbohydrates again, your body will actually take in the carbohydrates and then some. It's called supercompensation. Runners do that before races. They do what's called carb loading. But what they'll do is they'll, for a few days, they won't have any carbs at all. And then they'll work out their muscles so their muscles become very flat, or what's called carb depleted, which is basically in the form of a substance called glycogen, which is the muscle carbohydrate. And then once they've depleted that carbohydrate, they'll go on 2 or 3 days of carb loading, and the body not only takes in the carbs the glycogen it lost before, but even extra. So when they go run that race, they'll hit the wall a lot later in the race than they do when they if they wouldn't do that.
Okay.
So that's pretty cool. And I think it's a good thing for people to know that there's no one easy trick way to lose weight other than to be consistent with your activity and consistent with putting in the fuels your body needs in order to be healthy. And we've been so misguided by the food industry, by the nutritionists, even to this day, still recommending 55 to 60% of the diet to be carbohydrate, which is really sugar, and we have a sugar problem. Now they're saying that the whole cholesterol deal was, from dietary cholesterol has been a myth that never meant anything at all. And I read an article this morning where the woman says, I don't understand why they said that for so long. Well, I do. See, the Lipitor was one of the biggest selling drugs of all time. Real simple. That's what it is. If you didn't know what it is, I'm telling this woman that that's the reason why cholesterol is so important, because if you can create fear and use scare tactics to make people do things, then they do them. But the reality is that fat never made people fat. I grew up eating fat all the time. We had butter. We had milk, whole milk. There wasn't that. We didn't have an obesity problem back then. We didn't have an obesity problem until we started modifying even the sugars that we have into, you know, high fructose corn syrups, which, you know, most of the scientists out there are telling us that it's just the same as sugar, but yet we have more diabetes in our country than we ever did before. So where is it coming from then? You know, that would be my argument. And I believe that it's true, you know, that we have to look at the way foods come in their most natural forms, and we need to consume those foods. That means that we should not have no carbohydrate, but we should have a fair amount of proteins and fats in our diets. Believe it or not, when you take a look at what's called the thermal effect of food, or Mike and I were talking about the law of thermodynamics, but when you take a look at what it takes to break down a carbohydrate, the amount of energy you get from breaking down a carbohydrate, it's about 6% of what that food calorie is. But when you take a look at proteins, on the other hand, that uses up 25 to 30% of your energy in order to make energy. So you It's actually less efficient. In other words, it takes more energy to break that down, which means your body has to use more calories in order to break those they call them macronutrients or substrates, if you're looking at metabolism, break those things down so that the amount of heat or energy your body needs to break those down is greater for fats and proteins versus carbohydrates. So the person who's having the high carbohydrate diet is not really getting the full benefit of the thermic effect of foods if they're eating, you know, higher percentage of carbohydrates. Am I getting too complicated?
No. Actually, and I was going to jump in and ask the fallacy of, it seems to me, of people trying to cut carbs and really pulling back, and this is just a layman's, I think, is it your body metabolism begins to slow down, and which means it's going to be burning less energy, and so you're just kind of sabotaging yourself.
Mm-hmm. It does. What the body does, and it's a brilliant mechanism. It's no different than, say, for instance, you live in a 12-bedroom home, mm-hmm. okay, and you have a furnace in the basement, right? But you say, well, I'm going to kind of conserve energy, so I'm going to shut off some of the bedrooms so I don't have to heat them, right? This is exactly what your body does when it comes to your metabolism. So when you start saying, okay, well, I'm not going to eat the amount of food I need, well, it may shut down your reproductive system. If you're a female, it may lower your thyroid output. It may do different things in your body. It may even slow your digestive system down to the point where you're basically smoldering your fire. I'm trying to make that analogy, if you can kind of understand that. So the body's very good at being able to readjust the thermostat in your body so that it will use less energy in order to conserve itself. So you'd have to look at that. The smart person would say, what do I feed my body to enhance all of those systems so I heat them up, make them hot?
So people need to get to a place where they can find what the correct balance and the correct amount of food and food types is that's going to work for them to maintain a good, healthy lifestyle.
Absolutely. You know, and I was reading
It's not brain surgery.
No, it's not. And I read in this that people who were restricted from calories had no energy. You know, their ability to be sexually active went like down the tubes. It's like they didn't feel like doing anything.
Hmm.
It's like, you know, they got home that night, one looked at the other one and said, yeah, off to bed. That's it.
Rocco, that's called marriage. Anyway, go.
Wow. Well, my dad always told me that marriage was a 3-ring ceremony.
Right.
You know what that is?
Yeah, I heard Bob Eubanks tell this joke once, but go ahead.
But yeah, so he says first comes the engagement ring.
Right.
Second comes the wedding ring, and last but not least and forever is the suffer ring.
Okay, on that note, we're going to go on break.
Okay, let's go on break on that note.
That's why Mike and I aren't married. Neither are you.
No, but I don't think there's anything wrong with marriage.
No.
As long as you have the right person.
There you go.
You have the right communication.
All right, dig yourself out. We'll take a break. Oh, your ex is on line two, Rocco.
Yes, sorry, honey. I'll be home in 5 minutes. I'll bring the milk.
You're listening to Food for Thought. It's Healthy Monday. We have Rocco Boulay in-house, Integrity Health Coaching Solutions. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
And that brings us to 1:48. I'm sorry, 12:48. Sorry about that. We're going home in 8 minutes. It's 12:48. Food for Thought brought to you in part by Integrity Health Coaching Solutions, Bedford, Londonderry, and now North Conway, IntegrityFit.com. Its owner with us in studio today, Healthy Solutions Spice Blends, SpiceBlends.com. It's all about healthy Mondays, right? And what other one can I put into that mix? How about New England Coffee, the official coffee of Food for Thought, NewEnglandCoffee.com.
Beautiful. So, Rocco, continue our conversation.
Yeah, so let's take a further look into that whole, you know, not so much
yo-yo dieting.
I want to go move on a little bit towards the recommendation of, you know, the higher levels of carbohydrate, which it reflects a lot of the diabetes that we see in this country, because along with obesity, diabetes is pretty much its partner, mainly type 2 diabetes. Obviously, type 1 diabetes is an autoimmune situation with most people, that the pancreas doesn't produce
make any insulin.
It doesn't make any insulin. It makes very little insulin. So that's a different condition, and it is a medical condition. But when you take a look at type 2 diabetes, it's something that is behaviorally related to, you know, what's going on. So people need to understand a little bit more about their situation with being able to take control of their health, and not just, they should work with their doctors and not just totally depend on their doctor, because I don't think that's the right thing to do. I think that they need to be their own health advocate that says, okay, doctor, what can I learn? What can I know? What can I do more than I didn't do before? If I've been in a situation for a long time and I'm suffering and I'm getting hypertension or high blood pressure over it, if my blood lipids are going up, my triglycerides, my cholesterol, these are all kind of a syndrome of this whole, what we call metabolic syndrome. I don't know if you've ever heard that term before, but it's what the precursor of diabetes is. And really, when you take a look at it on a cellular level, and I'll break it down to be very simple. On the membrane of each and every cell in your body, certain things can get inside the cell for energy. Well, in order for sugar to get inside the cell, there's a receptor site on there for insulin, which you mentioned earlier. And insulin basically is it's a messenger that tells the cell that there's sugar outside in the blood, and to bring that sugar inside the cell to be used as energy. Is this making sense?
Keep going.
So
yeah, I live with a type 1 diabetic, so I've heard this. Yeah.
So in actuality, what happened is people who started eating, you know, copious amounts of carbohydrates had higher levels of glucose in their blood. And what happens at that point is that these receptor sites actually, where they attenuate, which means they stop working correctly. And what they do is they say, okay, we've let enough glucose into the cell. We can't use anymore. And those little doorways that insulin opens up to let the sugar in are closed off. Now the body has to do something with those high levels of sugar in the blood. So what happens is it goes into the liver, and the liver will actually recreate all of that sugar by breaking down all the carbon molecules of that sugar and turning it into a triglyceride. Or fatty acid, which they turn into triglycerides further in that process. So in actuality, how you fix that is really quite simple. First of all, you have to have a regulated diet that has the right amount of carbohydrates, the right amount of protein.
We're
right
type 2 now?
Yeah, we're talking about type 2, yes.
Okay.
But this also helps type 1s as well, because
the principles
apply.
Their
amounts of insulin that they need to live every day can become less and less, and they can... The least amount of insulin you use, the better, because insulin also will make you gain weight. So it's a double-edged sword for type 1 diabetes or type 2s who have been put on insulin, because it makes it hard for them to lose weight. So the reality is that if you can bring down your carbohydrate percentage of your total diet to, say, 40%, which is, if you look at, remember the Zone diet? It was something by Dr. Barry Sears. I would say that, in my opinion, he was probably the most brilliant guy out there when it came to diets, because he understood that, and he did a lot of studies that said people who eat carbohydrates at about 40%, 30% protein, 30% fats, regulate two hormones in their body. Now, insulin has its evil twin, or its good twin, if you want to call it, because insulin is the evil one in most respects. There's another hormone called glucagon. And when you re-regulate the glucagon levels in the body along with insulin, it encourages your body to burn fat and not to use that energy to store it, so to speak. So people who have change their diet to eat 40% carbohydrate, 30% protein, 30% fat, actually start, those receptor sites start getting sensitive again, and the body starts using insulin the correct way.
Are most people who find themselves in a life with type 2 diabetes, are they able to modify, for the most part, a successful return to not having to take insulin?
Oh, sure. Oh, there's countless people that have done it out there that really just learned enough about their what they were eating in the past and have changed those eating habits to be more conducive to being lower carbohydrate, have done very well. There's a couple of supplements that I would recommend. One of them is alpha lipoic acid, which is an antioxidant that basically mimics insulin. And that particular antioxidant, not only does it protect against the incomplete combustion of glucose, which creates free radicals, so it stops you, that diabetes or that pre-diabetes from hurting you, but it also helps those receptor sites to get the insulin functioning normally again. So that's an important thing. And the second thing I would recommend for type 2 diabetics is to get on some fish oil. Fish oil, which is a... It has EPAs and DHA fats in the fish oil, help to re-regulate the cell's membrane. The membrane of every cell is actually called a phospholipid bilayer. It's a big fancy word for fat. But it helps repair the permeability of that membrane so that waste products can get out and new nutrients can get in. And with diabetics, that also becomes an issue with regulating those systems. And last but not least, getting on a liver detoxifying substance. You know, if people don't have any allergies to say milk thistle, something like that, that would be a great way to start reversing your diabetes and then have your hemoglobin A1Cs checked pre and post doing that just for even 3 months, and they will see a huge deficit in the amount of sugar that's been in the blood over those 3 months, and they can get their health back pretty quickly. So how about that?
Huh? Yes. Thank you, Rocco.
Oh, it's always
another
a pleasure.
Lesson.
Yeah. I hope it wasn't too complicated. It can be complicated, but the basics are, you know, you have to eat healthier. You have to know what supplements help you to get, you know, yourself healthy again. So with that, between your thoughts and your actions lies your ability to choose. Why not choose to think healthy and get rid of that diabetes forever? Thank you, everybody.
See you next week.
All right, listeners, top of the hour. Food for Thought will be right back.